I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Browns folks heading to Colorado to check out the pro day for the Buffaloes. Not only just to look at Shedeur Sanders, but to look at my guy that I want in the draft, number 2 overall, Travis Hunter.
So that name's starting to come up more and more, man. More and more people are hopping on the bandwagon with you on Travis Hunter. I'm starting to hear that coming from a lot of places, but it's always with the caveat of going, you know, there's really not a lot of smoke around Travis Hunter going 2 overall. So I wonder, like it's kind of that caveat where it's like, no one's saying this, but, and if enough people start saying this, we can't say no one's saying it anymore.
I feel like if you draft Travis Hunter, you're getting 2 for 1. You get 2 players for 1 pick, right? You get a receiver and a corner. I am all about multiplying the picks.
Efficiency.
Okay? Yeah.
You go out there and you get yourself a kicker and a punter.
Right.
It's all about efficiency, maximizing roster spots.
By the way, you heard Jeff Thomas mention it in his 2020. We mentioned earlier in the show as well. Joe Milton, the quarterback for the New England Patriots, he was dealt to the Dallas Cowboys this morning. This from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. Because I was lamenting how I really would have liked if the Browns were going to be in on Joe Milton at some point. According to Jordan Schultz, the Browns were not. Teams that showed interest included the Raiders, the Eagles, the Giants, Steelers, and the Cowboys. That again from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. So I'm not salty. I mean, look, I'm not sitting here saying that Joe Milton was going to come in here and he was going to be a franchise guy, but listen, I am of the belief at this point that I just think that these veterans are a waste of time. I don't think any of them move the needle for you from a win-loss perspective this season, other than maybe you'll sell some jerseys in the team shop and sell some fake belief amongst your fans that you actually may win more than 3 games this year. So I'm of the belief you go the Kenny Pickett route or the Joe Milton route, and you get one of these guys who's not really seeing a lot of the field these days, but is on a rookie contract. You bring him in, you know, throw a little something against the wall. Maybe Kevin Stefanski can sprinkle some magic fairy dust out there in Berea and turn one of these guys into an actual quarterback. Like, that's where I'm at. Because you go the veteran route, and this includes Kirk Cousins, too. And again, coming up at 11:20, we're going to talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about the Kirk Cousins situation and the ever-evolving roller coaster ride that this thing has been. I just feel like even if you bring in Kirk Cousins, I don't know that moves the win-loss needle all that much for the Browns. At this point, I'm indifferent. Kirk clearly is on the back nine of his career. It's a Band-Aid. It's not a long-term solution, not by any stretch. I don't know that it's a multi-year solution for the Browns. And I don't know. I kind of just am not interested in it. It does nothing for me.
This may leave you mildly exasperated because I've known you well enough to know that this is the direction it'll go. Kirk Cousins, one thing you can say about Kirk Cousins, they'll be watchable on offense with him at quarterback. Like, it will be a watchable product. And that's the exasperated look that I was waiting to see.
Well, you know, you know what? The bar is low, and I guess I should settle for watchable at this point.
Right.
Because I'm really used to watching unwatchable
exactly.
football.
And that's where my bar is for the 2025 season, because I've seen where this direction is going. I have seen how these guys are not acting with any kind of desperation in any way that screams, this is the direction it's going. Let's have this at least be watchable.
Well, Jameis Winston was watchable in Denver, but he threw two pick sixes, and the Browns lost by 20 or something like that. Like, it was watchable. He set a franchise record. I think it was 498 yard passing yards. Like, it was watchable.
It was.
Don't mean it was good. So I just remind folks that are looking for the watchable bar to be met. Watchable don't equal good.
Well, but again, your expectation should move with your reality.
Well,
that's another like I've realized at the rightful age of 36 years old, when I was a kid, I was going to be the starting third baseman for a professional baseball team. At the age of 36, those expectations have moved. Now we're happy if we're playing.
I would hope so.
Now we're happy if we're playing third base for a local softball team. Like, that's how life should work. It's the same thing with where the Browns are right now. Like, you can set your expectations at Super Bowl. The evidence in front of you says that that's going to be unlikely.
Yes.
And while you're going to hear that in training camp over and over again, you will realize that probably unlikely. So your expectations at the bar needs to move down to something that's actually able to be met.
So the problem I had last year was my expectation was 10, 11 wins, make the playoffs, win a playoff game. They won three games, and they spent $300 million to win three games.
$100 million for each win.
Pretty sure that wasn't the plan. So my expectation this year, I guess, is I'm back to where my expectation has been for the bulk of the last 26 years with that franchise, and that is watchable. Just put a product on the field that just makes me not want to stab my eyeballs out.
My expectation is watchable. The second part of that as well is at the end of the season, you walk out going, that's a franchise pillar, that's a franchise pillar, that's a franchise pillar, and we've got three quality starters, and we've got a couple quality starters to go as well, and the arrow is back to pointing up.
Well, I think the arrow is pointing up now, but only because that's pretty much the only direction it can point right now. It can't get much worse, and I realize I'm talking about the Browns, and I'm saying it can't get much worse because, as we know, it can always get worse. But I do sincerely believe, all sarcasm aside, I do feel like the arrow is up. I kind of feel like, okay, last year in this current whatever you want to call this, this is as bad as it's going to get. Like, they're going to be better this season. I don't know how much more better from a win-loss perspective, but it's going to be better. The over-under, I think, is 4.5. That's what the folks in Vegas that do that. I am taking the over on that. I think that's easy money. Now, if the Browns draft the quarterback at 2, which could be Shedeur Sanders, I'm against it, but they could do it. If they trade for Kirk Cousins, I fully expect that number to move up, to go to 5.5. I don't know if it goes to 6.5, but I could see it going from 4.5 to 5.5.
It is now, thanks to our friends at the desert, it is now at 5.5.
Oh, it is 5.5.
It's up to 5.5.
Okay, so what you're saying is I should have got in on at 4.5.
Right.
I blew it.
Well, that happens to the best of us.
Okay, because I want nothing to do with a 5.5 line.
It feels right.
I want nothing to do with that particular line.
It feels like they know things. It feels like they're smart out there. Like
they know the real reason Kirk Cousins came to Cleveland last week.
Like for some reason.
By the way, I just want to point out, he was on the west side of Cleveland. He was not spotted in Strongsville scouting Bill Cowher's house. I just want to point that out to people.
I don't know. I haven't checked on it. Did somebody cut the grass?
No. By the way, that has there have been a lot of really great Cleveland sports running gags. I would have to say the Bill Cowher house in Strongsville gag, best bit going.
Oh, and the fact that he came on, I mean, that was...
It is ageless.
That like had to be like 3 years ago he came on, and we used to greet him all the time and say, Bill, how's the house in Strongsville? You know, all that. Cause, and he just leaned right in with that.
I don't know. I haven't checked on it. Did somebody cut the grass?
It was just such a perfect one-liner.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, that is an ageless gag. We'll be able to use that for at least the next... We got at least another 20 more years of that coming to us where we can we can squeeze every ounce out of that we can. Bill Cowher's house in Strongsville. So, yes, can confirm Kirk Cousins did not scout Bill Cowher's non-existent house in the city of Strongsville.
In the city of Strongsville, Ohio.
I don't know. Kirk Cousins strikes me as a Westlake guy.
I could see all of it with him. The question that I have is, okay, are you picking up the family from Atlanta and you moving them up to Cleveland and doing all that stuff, or are you just going to go do the condo life and hang up here for 18 weeks and or with training camp and everything else, probably closer to, you know, what, 24 weeks, 25 weeks? Like, are you just going to go that route and keep... Because you got the in-laws in Atlanta, and I don't know how much he's, you know... When you live closer to your in-laws, sometimes you either come to like them more or like them less. Everyone in life.
I think it depends how old the kids are. If they're really, really young, you love them because you got babysitters.
That's a good point.
And this, is coming from a guy who does not have kids.
It's a really good point.
I have brothers and sisters with kids. And that was a thing in the family. Grandma, mom and dad being grandma and grandpa.
Hmm?
For my brother and sister.
Can you keep an eye on that?
We
got tickets.
We just realized we have some tickets for Saturday night. What are you doing Saturday night? What time is that Saturday night mass wrap up?
Can you watch them? Because if you don't, they might be living outside. Because we can't do this any longer.
By the way, I saw an article this morning that appalled me. My sister posted it, where it was about a mother that was bragging about how she lets her kids run around in public. Like, just let your kids run around in public. So I responded to my sister, this is why I hate kids, especially young kids, because of parents like that. Because every time I go to the grocery store, there's kids running around the grocery store, unsupervised. They're yelling. They're screaming. Thankfully, they're not grabbing produce and starting a food fight. But it's obnoxiously awful. Or when I go to a department store or anywhere in public, I see these young kids just running around like animals. And I'm like, where are the parents?
Where are your parents?
And why is someone not snapping a belt in their hand to get the kid in line? I'm not saying go the corporal punishment route, okay? I'm not advocating for that. But I do feel like there is something to be said for some appropriate fear.
Every so often, a message shall be sent.
You know what I mean?
A message should be sent.
A little appropriate fear can go
along. I can't get behind that one. That's a little mush. That's a smidge much.
Appropriate fear?
Appropriate fear, yes. But belt snapping, a little much.
What, snap? That's how you create the appropriate fear. You take the belt in your hand and you snap it. And so they see you snap it and they get in line real fast.
From two guys who have zero children.
Right.
Parenting.
Listen, I've seen this work. I've seen it work. I'm not saying you use it. I'm not advocating for that. That's wrong. But if you can psychologically make them think you might. Not the worst idea. Maybe next time I go to the grocery store, I don't got a bunch of rugrats running around while I'm trying to pick out bananas and tomatoes and lettuce and lunch meat. Hey, listen, that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Coming up next on Baskin and Phelps, that damn ball and why it keeps coming into my grass.
Actually, coming up on Baskin and Phelps, D. Orlando Ledbetter. He's going to join us from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution with the latest on the never-ending saga of Kirk Cousins. We're going to find out, was he scouting houses in Westlake? Next on The Fan. From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he is also a Northeast Ohio native. Please welcome to the show, D. Orlando Ledbetter. D., thanks for the time today.
How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
You betcha. A little soggy up here, just so you know. Yeah. A lot of water the last 24 hours.
Okay, well, hopefully my mom got her garden started and she's benefiting from the rain.
Well, I got bad news for you. It's supposed to snow next week.
No.
The Guardians are starting their season, which means it's time to snow again. I mean, that's how it goes.
As you know, man, with this place, you don't like the weather. Wait an hour.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember playing games at Cathedral Lane where we had to burn the dirt. We had to put some gasoline and fire on the dirt to get the hold there in early April.
My senior year of high school, the weather was so bad, we went to North Carolina to play baseball for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Good move.
The reason we wanted to have you on, obviously, the Kirk Cousins thing seems to change by the hour, if not day. I want to start here, though, because it is one of the great mysteries here in Cleveland, and nobody is buying that Kirk Cousins came to Cleveland because he wanted to eat at the Westlake Chipotle. So I hate to put you on the spot right out of the gate, but what on earth was Kirk Cousins doing in Cleveland last week?
Yeah, we can't figure it out. You know, the Browns, his people are from here. His in-laws are from here. I'm figuring he was stopping halfway on his way to Grand Rapids. That's the best thing I can come up with.
I've heard worse ideas. I've heard worse things that could possibly come out of it. But it's such a fascinating situation because of everything. You know, the way he, of course, played Kevin Stefanski for a little bit when he was with Minnesota, Cleveland needing a quarterback in the way that they are. Does a move from Atlanta to the Browns for Kirk Cousins make sense on the Atlanta side?
It makes sense if the Browns give them something. It doesn't make sense, otherwise. You know, they got the money. They paid him the money. They're not getting anything back. They got 14 games for $100 million, and appear to be fine with holding him hostage. Now the Browns are not in a situation where, you know, they got Kenny Pickett. They can draft a quarterback. I mean, you know, it's a couple different options out there for them. It was always explained from the beginning, this is like Russell Wilson. It was a contract that, nobody was going to trade for. You know, Cleveland doesn't have $40 million or more dead money on a quarterback to put in the play when they already got a Deshaun sitting there. So, you know, they can't really trade for him. But if the Falcons cut him loose, which is what he's asking for, then, you know, you could sign him for the minimum, like a 1.2 deal like Russell Wilson did with the Steelers, and go from there. You know, that was the hope of the Browns at one point. But as far as giving the Falcons something for him, no, I think that's a no-starter.
Well, if my math is correct, 14 games for $100 million is a lot better than 13 games for $240
million. Yeah, so both of them got jobbed, and they were both in the running for Deshaun, too. And Cleveland, I guess, quote-unquote, won that race.
Hey, at the owners' meetings this week, you wrote about how Arthur Blank and Raheem Morris seem open to a trade all of a sudden. What would a trade, though, with the Browns look like? Would the Falcons be willing to eat some money for that draft pick or draft picks?
Yeah, they got to eat it. They got 100. There's no tradable way. It's untradeable because, the Browns wouldn't give them a draft pick. You know, there's no trade that we can come up with that works. You know, they're not going to give him a seventh. I mean, that'd probably be about all you can get. Even if the Falcons agree to pay the contract, they already paid the contract. The problem is the Browns taking the hit number with moving with them. They've got to move with them. So, yeah, they're like, no, we're not taking, you know, they can't take it on. There's no way to trade them.
What could the Falcons do to make the salary cap numbers more palatable for the Browns?
Only thing I can come out with is he comes back to the Falcons and renegotiates the contract and gives back money. And how many times does that happen? Zero. That's the only way I can come up with. And we were talking to people down at the owners' meeting. They're like, well, yeah, that might even be a violation of the CBA. He says, okay, here, take back $40 million. My salary cap is now this. You know, we voided that contract. We got a new contract for $1. Now trade me. There'll be all kinds of union lawyers fighting for you know, that kind of groundbreaking type of situation. So that's the only way. They can't redo the contract, but, you know, they're already mad at each other. They've been mad since they drafted Penix. Michael McCartney went on, you know, NFL Network or someplace, you know, complaining about that they blindsided him. They didn't call Kurt until they were on the clock. And so, you know, they've been bad blood since then. They got a no-trade clause. They don't have to waive it. So then the word of Falcons, oh, we don't have to renegotiate with you. So, yeah, it's messy. It's a bad situation. The only clean break is, hey, if they just punt and kick him to the curb, and then he'll be available to Cleveland and everybody else for a minimum salary.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm glad you brought up the Penix part of it, because I've often wondered in this situation with Kirk Cousins, is transparency the cause of this? Like, if they would have sat Kirk Cousins down, in your opinion, and said, hey, we're going to make this move and pick up a young quarterback in the first round of this draft, do you think it would have eased the tension a little bit better?
No, I think he would have went to somebody else in free agency, you know. But, you know, it would have been a thing where they wouldn't have got him if they did that. And, you know, that's just the cold-hearted facts of the National Football League. But I can't find – we haven't been able to find out anybody who they were bidding against to get Kirk Cousins last year. But he would have had a better – he would have got somewhere last year, but it wouldn't have been Atlanta if they was like, hey, we're going to sign you, but we're going to draft your heir apparent here in a couple weeks too.
Well, the Browns are looking to draft a quarterback. The big debate up here is do they take Shedeur Sanders at number two? Is Shedeur really worth – that pick, or is he a mid to late first round type of a quarterback here? My question is, should the Browns draft a quarterback in the middle rounds? They don't do it at two. They wait till the middle rounds. Do you think that Kirk would be okay with that situation, considering it's a little different than spending a first round pick on a quarterback?
Yeah, that was one of the ways we come up for Kirk to get to Cleveland is they pass on Shedeur, or Shedeur passes on Cleveland. You know, maybe you come back. I don't really like the Milroe option, but, you know, there are some other quarterbacks. The kid from Louisville that's been in college for 7 years, Will Howard, Ohio State, did pretty good at the combine. I mean, there's some guys that play a lot of college football that, you know, are, one of them is going to be a pretty good pro. You just got to figure out which guy that is. I'm not big on the Jackson Dart. I think he's too small. But, yeah, especially play up in the cold and so forth. But, yeah, there's some big kids that could throw it. Done pretty good on the college ranks that you can maybe double back and get later and have Kurt show them how to do it, and they'll get a shot in a couple years with Kurt and Kenny Pennick helping them out.
So Arthur Blank sat down with the media at the owners' meetings. You were there as well. And said he took 5 pages of notes in an hour of a Kirk Cousins call. When is the last time you took 5 pages of notes for anything? Is it college? Because I think that might be mine.
Yeah, it was law school for me. UC Law. That would have been right down there at Cincinnati in corporations class or con law or something. But yeah, 5 pages on a phone call? No, never. That's a no.
It must be very small pieces of paper that he took those notes on.
Yeah, well, Kurt's very intentional, and he's a voice memo guy, so he probably had a whole soliloquy memorized before he got to his phone call with the owner and his concern and beliefs. So, yeah, with Kurt going straight to like an hour straight about, you know, why he needs to go and what be for the team to make that happen for him. And his passion for the game and wanting to continue to play at 37. You know, and that his clock is ticking. He don't want to be sitting on the bench if he doesn't have to.
I realize it's lion season around the NFL right now. Nobody wants to say anything meaningful, but considering the owners' meetings just wrapped up in West Palm, the Browns are in Colorado right now. They're going to wine and dine Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders and probably Deion Sanders too and the rest of the gang, but what is the consensus on Shedeur? There seems to be a very wide range. There's a select group of folks that feel like he is a franchise quarterback, and the Browns would be stupid not to take him. And then there's a lot of people that think, well, he's probably mid-teens, early 20s type of guy. What have you heard about what teams really think about George Sanders as a prospect?
Yeah, I was, you know, I was on my way to the Texas-Alabama game last year, you know, just driving over to hang out with my Texas folks. And one NFL coach I was talking to that day said, oh, yeah, and by the way, Shadur's definitely a pro quarterback. And so since then, I've been watching and actually went out to Colorado to see them play right before the Falcons and Denver game. So, yeah, he, you know, I've seen Deshaun, Cam Newton, all these guys come through, Stafford. And, you know, he's a little thinner for me. I would like to be a little bit taller, but, you know, they don't, the ball comes off his hands really nice. He's accurate. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't have a bigger arm. Like, Jalen Milroe has a bigger arm, but he, you know, he can't control it. So he's definitely a pro quarterback, definitely, I believe, a first rounder, top 10 in this draft, and going to be a good pro for a long time.
I can't remember the last time we got this deep into draft season where everybody still had their first-round pick. There have been no trades. Falcons right now sitting at 15. Where do you think they're going?
Yeah, if they go anywhere, they're going back. You know, and that would be because there's a drop-off, a perceived drop-off after the top 12 guys. It's supposed to be only 12 first-rounders in this pick. In this draft, so they can go back and get some quantity as opposed to, you know, making sure or gambling at 15 that they got the right guy out of that next group. They might just try to load up on that second tier and get a couple picks, get a corner, maybe an edge rusher in that second group if they're not happy at 15. The key for them is how they evaluate Mike Green and Marshall and James Pierce from Tennessee. Both of those guys have some red flags. They're probably going to be there at 15, and they got to decide if they are comfortable with those red flags or not.
Well, I can confirm for the folks in Atlanta, Kirk Cousins was not spotted in Strongsville scouting Bill Cowher's Mystery House. We have not seen Kirk Cousins at Rocket Arena for Cavs games just yet. We are definitely on the lookout if that should happen. We will do our best to get that information down to the folks there in Atlanta.
Yeah, please alert us as well if he's at a Hawks game or is at Augusta this weekend.
Yeah, we'll be on the lookout for Kurt. He might pop up here at Marietta Middle School where I'm getting ready to go speak, but we'll see. He was down in Orlando last week at an All-Pro Dad event, so that was our last Kirk Cousins sighting, and they don't have a team, so he's not getting traded to Orlando.
Well, check your Chipotle's and barbecue joints because supposedly that's where he's turning up around here.
Okay, we'll be on the lookout.
And expense it because it's research for a story.
That's right. That's right. I can get that past the accountants, Dan and Daryl. Thank you so much.
You betcha. D, thanks for the time. You're the best as always, my friend.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
there
man.
You go. D. Orlando Ledbetter on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The prospects of potentially trading for Kirk Cousins. If you missed that interview or any other parts of the program, don't miss a moment earlier in our shows or any of our local shows here on 92.3 The Fan. Click the rewind function on the Odyssey app brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose, click, cruise at montroseford.akron.com to listen back to any of our segments from the past 72 hours, including that one from D. Orlando Ledbetter, who had a lot of great thoughts about the situation involving the Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins. All right, now I'm back off the train. Like, I got pushed back on the tracks this week, Dan. Mm-hmm. And now, after talking to D there, I'm off the Kirk Cousins train again. I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, you had a guy who covers them going, I don't see how it's feasible. It's why I partially wondered if that train had passed the minute that they picked up that $10 million option. Like, I kind of wondered in that moment when the Falcons had to pick up that option, and we all thought, okay, he's going to be cut before then so that they can avoid it. When that happened, I was like, okay, I think the train has passed. I think that one is no longer the option that we're looking for. Though the question I've got through the whole thing then is, okay, so why are we still here, and why will this not go away, and why do I have Diana Rossini saying there's way too much smoke here to not make this make sense?
Right. Did what Dio Orlando Ledbetter have to say change your calculus on what may or may not happen with Kirk Cousins and the Browns? 216-474-0092. If you'd like to weigh in with Dan and I, we are with you until 2. Baskin and Phelps has the day off. I'll be back in, I think, tomorrow with with Phelps. Phelps is going to be back off the ball field. But yeah, I think that now, you know, and it was the same thing with the whole, like, the Sean contract, when that whole ridiculous stupidity popped up where they're like, well, you know, you trade Myles Garrett, you make him take Deshaun's contract off your hands. And
doesn't
it's like, no,
work like that.
That's not how the NFL works.
Doesn't work like that.
It's not how the salary cap works. It's not how trades in the NFL work. It's a little different. You can't force a pick because it's the team trading the player. You get the double whammy. You get the trading the player hit because all the cap that remains on the contract, the cap space, if you will, that becomes a balloon payment when you make the trade, and then you get the double whammy because you have to take on the cap hit of the contract that's incoming. So, I think what D had to say about that particular situation with Kirk's contract, and he made the joke of, you know, well, they basically had to rip up the existing contract and have him sign for a dollar, or it'd be the veteran minimum. That's how you not rile up the NFLPA. But then you make the trade, and then you have to come to Cleveland, and then you have to rework the contract again so he gets his money. And look, the Browns are in no position to significantly invest in the quarterback position from a dollar standpoint and a salary cap standpoint. Cash isn't the issue. It's the cap commitment that's the issue. And also, too, you're not in a position where you want to invest multiple years in a guy of Kirk Cousins' age.
Correct.
Because you want to be trying to figure out, okay, can you sprinkle some magic fairy dust on Kenny Pickett? If you draft Shedeur Sanders, well, now the focus becomes on developing him to become your franchise quarterback. So if you traded for Kirk, all of a sudden he's not long for that job. And as we talked about in the interview, we all know how it went with Michael Penix down there in Atlanta,
right,
and how Kirk felt, right? So I can't imagine things would go all that much better here in Cleveland.
Well, and even asking him the question of, hey, if they were a little more transparent about this, would it have worked better? And him going, nope. It's like, okay, well, that goes that idea out the window of bringing Kirk Cousins in and telling him, hey, we're looking at maybe taking a quarterback at 2, or maybe at 33 we'll take a quarterback as well. It's like, well, I put that to bed.
Yeah. So after that conversation, yeah, I'm thinking that Kirk Cousins not happening. I don't care how many Chipotles on the west side of Cleveland he frequents or how many barbecue joints he hits up.
Yeah.
I don't think it's happening.
It doesn't seem like it's feasible. And that's going to be the toughest thing. That seemed like the last remaining path of least resistance to getting a proven veteran quarterback in here who has a track record of success.
Hey, listen, Carson Wentz is still available. They can still win the Carson Wentz trade.
Right.
By the way, I am totally not pounding the table for Carson Wentz. I want to make that very clear.
All the
sarcasm was intended there.
That's one where I'm good. I would rather throw out Kenny Pickett or draft 2 quarterbacks and have it all go in camp and then throw it out there and go, all right, let's go. Because we're starting to hit that point with this quarterback situation where I'm basically just like, okay, let's look at the group that is out there of quarterbacks. Let's take the guys that are the most intriguing. Let's take, you know, a quarterback in the draft, and let's throw them all out there in Berea come August and let them duke it out. And let's have ourselves a quarterback competition and see where it goes from there.
I miss training camp competition.
You know, I figured you did. I think that's your second favorite thing, the 7th round picks.
I really, really, really miss quarterback competitions. And you know what? I can't wait for a 4-man quarterback competition.
Oh, you're going to need... You're going to have to get one of those big notepads so that you can really chart all of the different throws.
Am I going to have to take 5 pages of notes every day?
Can you believe that?
No!
5 pages of notes off of a conversation with an hour for a quarterback. I'm sorry. Like, we all went to high school. There's no way anyone took 5 pages of notes in a day about anything.
Yeah. No, I...
What? 5 pages of notes?
With all due respect to Arthur Blank, I'm not buying that one bit.
What?
Unless the 5 pages of notes were on, like, those, you know, those real small post-it notes.
That's right. 5 post-it notes. Okay, I can work with 5 post-it notes. Or I can work with 5...
I mean, technically, that is 5 pages, right? We're not... The size of the piece of paper has not been determined here.
Or, like, 5 of those, like, notebooks that you see people keep in their back pockets to kind of keep track of stuff. Like, 5 of those. Yes, like, that I could work with.
So Meredith, who's producing the show and doing an outstanding job, as she always does, she's holding up her notebook, and it's her little notebook that the Cavs gave away a couple of years ago.
It's a smaller size notebook, and it's where I take all of my notes. Anytime I go on site to cover a game or anything, you can see I've got lots of pages of notes.
So here's my
problem.
But
it's not the full 8.5 by 11. It's a smaller one because it fits in my purse.
Yeah, here's the problem with me taking notes. I can't read my writing.
Yeah, I've ran into that too.
Because for the last, I'd say, 15 years of my career have been like pretty much typing everything. I need a translator for my own handwriting. I write worse than a doctor.
This is like a serious conversation that needs to take place because I always had horrendous handwriting. And now it is off. Like it takes me a while to go through and have to decipher what I have written because of that exact reason. None of us write anymore. Everything is just typed out.
I think I got to get one of those, like, you know, you get for the kids to teach them how to write the letters and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like I probably need to go do that again because, like, I've lost the muscle memory in my left hand for writing.
Right.
I think I write a grand total of 1 check per year. And it's like to my car insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
I everything else I pay electronically.
Yeah, you just pay it electronically. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to fill out the check. You don't have to put in the $137.68 and the 100 and the line and yeah.
So when the rare occasion when I actually have to write out a check, it takes me like 5 minutes because I'm writing really super slow so that's legible, and you know what it says.
And you can totally tell exactly. The only time I ever write a check is for a bill that I'm grumpy about paying. That's the only time I will ever write a check.
Well, I don't like writing checks because I'm afraid I ain't going to get there in time. I actually ran into a problem a couple of years ago. I was doing an electronic thing, and I like found out my bank actually printed a check and mailed off the check.
Oh, no.
And I got a notice from my, you know, from the bank I have my mortgage through, they're like, we have not received your mortgage payment. And so like I freak out.
We don't want to tell you to start packing, but here's a notice.
Right. So I frantically call and I'm like, I submitted that payment electronically through my bank 13 days ago.
Oh goodness.
And I had 48 hours to get them my mortgage. And so I'm like, you know, really getting nervous.
Right.
I'm like, well, I already allocated the money for the check, so if I pay over the phone right now, how do I cancel the check
exactly.
So you don't get to it? Like it became a whole deal.
Oh boy,
became a whole deal. But I again didn't write the check. I mean, and that's how I found out that's how the bank did that. So now I'm just like, all right, I'll just go through your website every month and pay my mortgage
probably,
that way. Yeah, it's
the way you got to end up doing all that kind of stuff.
I don't know how we ended up down that road, but somehow we... Oh, that's right. We were talking about Arthur Blank taking 5 pages of notes concerning Kirk Cousins' future with the Atlanta Falcons,
and
which,
like,
I don't believe. I don't believe he took 5 pages of notes. Far be it for me to accuse a billionaire of lying through his teeth, but I'm going to sit here and say the billionaire was lying through his teeth. You know what? If it was like 5 sentences of notes, I'd be impressed.
Could see that, and your idea of 5 post-it notes, like
Kirk reasons. Here we go. It's the David Letterman top 10 reasons Kirk Cousins is angry with Arthur Blank, owner of the Atlanta Falcons.
Don't get sued. Worldwide pants, billable hours. Be careful.
But like, I can't believe he took five pages of notes. There's no way. Like, but based, I like to live in this little world I call reality. Okay. Sometimes it's my own reality, and that's a conversation for a different day. But I don't know that it makes sense for the Browns, other than being able to sell fans on, hey, we traded for a guy we're legitimately trying to win. We're not going to throw it in the hands of rookie. At this point, I'm fine throwing it in the hands of rookie quarterback. I am totally fine whether it ends up being Shedeur Sanders, whether it ends up being one of these guys later in the draft. What I'm not fine with is if Kenny Pickett is the week one starter. That makes me nervous.
Explain that when we come back.
I will do just that.
I got to pick your brain on that.
It's Dan and Daryl, not Baskin and Phelps. We're in for Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan with you till 2:00.